Thank you for listening to this sermon from Hope Church, Toronto West. It is our prayer that through these audio sermons, you are challenged and transformed by the Word of God, built up in love and faith, and drawn more to the person and work of Jesus Christ. We want to remind you that these online resources are never meant to be a substitute for God's good plan for you to be present, connected, and serving in a local church under the care of qualified elders. If you live in the West Toronto area and are looking for a local church, we encourage you to come check out one of our Sunday services. Now, as you prepare your heart to receive God's word, we pray that His Spirit would use the sermon powerfully in your life.
Well, it's so good to be singing of the faithfulness of God, the love of God, and the mercy of God. Yesterday, I had a very beautiful day with my family. It was a day where God really demonstrated and showed me again in a very fresh way how loving He is to His people, how merciful He is, how gracious He is to His people. The day started with a celebration of life or a funeral of a dear and very precious man, someone who's probably more dear to me than he ever knew, and his family as well, a man who lived for Jesus Christ at the point that he put his faith in Jesus Christ. And I was there at the celebration of life and at the funeral, and of course, grieving a loss, because when we lose amazing people, we feel it, amen? We feel it. And yet the service was full of immense hope because of the love of Jesus Christ. And I was able to see that through this one man's life, the trajectory of an entire family and many more people's lives changed because of the gospel. I was so privileged 13 years ago to baptize Don Freeman. Now he's with the Lord. It was a day of grief. It was a day of loss. It was a day of hope. And one day we'll see him again. And I was encouraged to pursue Jesus Christ, that He would use my life, that I would finish well like He did, and that I would demonstrate to many more the love of Jesus Christ, that maybe the trajectory of many people's lives can change because I've surrendered my life to Jesus Christ. I encourage you in the same way. That was my morning. Grief, loss, hope, the beauty of God's love. And then in the evening, I had the privilege of officiating a wedding. So in all my years in ministry, I never had this opportunity to do a funeral in the morning and a wedding in the evening. But in God's providence, He was working something in me. By the end of the evening, I was standing before these two whose lives had radically changed as a result of the ministry of this church and people in their family who had attended this church, lives transformed by the grace of Jesus Christ, by the love of Jesus Christ. And I'm standing there in front of them, watching these two people enter into this covenant of marriage, saying, we want God's way. We don't want our way anymore. We want God's way. I was reminded all throughout that wedding in the evening how good God is, how loving He is, how merciful He is, how kind He is. Our God is kind. And it's not very often for us in our busy society, in our busy culture, that we take time to slow down and meditate on just the simple, most basic, yet most profound aspects of our faith, that God loves us. And so we're going to be in a series through the summer. I'm going to kick it off right now in the book of Psalms. And the hope and the prayer for this series is that you and I would be stirred within our hearts, that our affections for Jesus Christ would be stirred. We'd be awakened again to the reality of His grace, His mercy, His enduring love for us, what it cost Him that He would bring people so far, so near by His sacrifice. And so there's going to be a number of messages throughout the book of Psalms today, this summer. And today we're going to kick it off with Psalm 136. And so I want to encourage you to take your Bible and go with me to Psalm 136. Psalm 136. If you don't have a Bible, you can put up your hand. And one of the ushers would love to put a copy of God's word in your hand. And if you don't own a Bible, that Bible will be our gift to you. We'd love you to take it home and read it and have your life transformed by the Word of God. Psalm 136, 1-9 is where we're going to be. Just to give you a bit of context for our series before we dive in, many of you know this, but the Psalms are a collection of 150 songs, essentially, Hebrew hymns or poems. And the book of Psalms is what the Old Testament people of Israel used to worship God corporately. Psalms were sung, they were recited, they were prayed, all as a corporate expression of personal, theological, and emotional worship to God. And so all throughout the Psalms, we have psalms of adoration, we have psalms of thanksgiving, we have songs of lament, we have songs that express deep cries of help. Today we're going to be in a song of thanksgiving, and a song of thanksgiving about the wonderful, enduring love of God. And my prayer for you and I today is that our time in Psalm 136 today, and then throughout the rest of this summer in various psalms, is going to again bring our hearts to a greater awareness. Some of us need to be awakened. Some of us are distracted by so many things. I pray that even today or throughout the summer, if you just be like me yesterday, I'm sitting there, I'm just in awe. Just like I'm standing in awe of God's love, His grace towards people. He's so good. He's so kind. I pray that for you. I pray that your eyes would fill with tears. I pray that your heart would be impacted deeply. I pray you'd go beyond going through the motions. I pray that you would be deeply touched by the love of God. So I want you to look at Psalm 136, starting from verse 1. The psalmist says this, "Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His steadfast love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods, for His steadfast love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords, for His steadfast love endures forever. To Him alone who does great wonders, for His steadfast love endures forever. To Him who by understanding made the heavens, for His steadfast love endures forever. To Him who spread out the earth above the waters, for His steadfast love endures forever. To Him who made the great lights, for His steadfast love endures forever. The sun to rule over the day, for His steadfast love endures forever. The moon and stars to rule over the night, for His steadfast love endures forever." I want to just pull from this psalm many reasons why we should give thanks to the Lord. Three specifically in the first 9 verses. Reasons we should give thanks to the Lord. Reasons we should open up our eyes and lift up our eyes and lift up our heads and lift up our hands to worship Jesus Christ with hearts of thanksgiving and praise. I want us to get started with this. I will give thanks to the Lord. Here's reason number 1 to give thanks to the Lord. He is infinitely good. He is infinitely good. Now, some of you are going through some hard things in your life today, and you're thinking, I don't know, I don't feel that He's good, but I'm telling you some truth based on the authority of God's Word, that if you embrace it, your perspective will be transformed, and your life will be changed. We can give thanks to the Lord because no matter the season, no matter the suffering, no matter the prosperity, He is always and infinitely good. I want you to see it in verse 1. It says, give thanks to the Lord. Why? Why? The people are standing there, and the worship leader says, give thanks to the Lord. Why? Because He is good. This is true. His steadfast love endures forever. Now here we have the foundation for the rest of Psalm 136. We have the congregation being called to do something, namely to give thanks to the Lord. And that's what I'm going to be doing for you today in this congregation. I'm going to be calling you to give thanks to the Lord. Why? Because He is good and His steadfast love endures forever. It's like the worship leader standing up and saying, come on, come and give thanks to the Lord. And that's what I'm trying to do for you right now. Again, you may be here in a season of suffering or trial. It doesn't prevent you from acknowledging the reality of the nature of who our God is and the purpose he has even in your suffering. Our God is a good God, a faithful God, a merciful God, a loving God. His steadfast love, it is steady, it never fails, it endures forever. And so to all of us today, there's a clear summons from Scripture. A summons to worship, to stop what we're doing, and to give thanks to the Lord. Again, you may be sitting here saying, I don't think I have much reason to give thanks. Why? Why exactly, Jason, are you calling me to give thanks? Why should I be persuaded to give thanks to the Lord in the season that I'm walking through? Well, the psalmist tells us why again. In verse 1, he says, give thanks to the Lord. Here it is. Because he is good. Because his steadfast love endures forever. These are some of the greatest, most marvelous realities you can ever meditate upon in your entire life. And if you grew up in Sunday school, you grew up in church, you hear Jesus loves you, Jesus died on the cross for you, God loves you, it's become all too familiar to you, you need to wake up and say, Lord, forgive me. The greatest realities I can meditate on today is the love and inexhaustible grace of Jesus Christ. In fact, C.H. Spurgeon said that of all the treasures of God's word, there's nothing greater for the child of God than to read about his goodness towards us and that his steadfast love endures forever. Here is the theological and biblical foundation that we all need to stand on today, that God is infinitely good, that he is a good father whose love is inexhaustible. He's good because his goodness is inherent in who he is. You can't change that fact. It's part of his nature. He is good. Nothing he does is not good. Psalm 92:15 says there is no unrighteousness in him. His motives are always good. Romans 8:28 tells us that we know for all who love God, all things are working out together for good. We know that his motives are always good for us. We know that his ways are always good. Psalm 18:30 says, this God, his way is perfect. It's perfectly good. But isn't it true that for so many of us, we fail to live with a constant awareness in the reality of his goodness? Maybe you're in a season like that today. Something hard has happened to you. Something difficult has happened to you in your life. Maybe you're here right now and you're sitting here and you're saying, it's true. I can't see his goodness in my life. Going through a very hard situation right now that does not change, loved ones, the reality that he is good. When bad things happen to us, it does not equal that God is not good. No. We see this all throughout the scriptures. I was reading, I read this a few years ago back, and it came back to my attention this week. I'm going to read it for you. Marcia Shelley is one of the editors of Christianity Today. On November 22nd, 1991, a few days before Thanksgiving at 8:20 p.m., their son was born. And at 8:22, 2 minutes later, their son died. Now, Marshall wrote an article in Christianity Today about it 4 years later. The article was called 2 Minutes to Eternity. In that article, he described how the nurse stood over his wife holding their dead child and asked, does the baby have a name? And she said, Toby. It's short for a biblical name, Tobiah, which means God is good. And when Marshall came to speak at an event at Wheaton College, he told this story. He said that at the end of his talk, he summed it all up by saying this sentence, life is hard and God is good. Life is hard and God is good. He went on to say that that's the meaning of Lamentations. That's the meaning of the book of Job. He said that's the meaning, you may say, of the entire Bible, that life is hard and God is good. And some of you are right in the midst of proving this to be so right now. At least if you would trust him, if you could be persuaded of the biblical reality of God's trustworthiness, and if you could hold on to it, perhaps today you would discover in a new way, in the midst of some sorrow or suffering, that it is true, two things true at once: life is hard, and God is good. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. And you know, loved ones, if you've lived long enough in the faith, you understand this a little bit better, some of you. You've lived long enough, maybe early in your Christian walk, you'd face some hard things, and all of a sudden you'd begin to question the goodness of God. You'd shake your tiny fist at him. You'd say, how could you be good and allow this to happen in my life? But you've lived a little bit longer, some of you. You've experienced his faithfulness. Sometimes a few years later, after the sorrow, the suffering, now that gives you more perspective. You continue to walk with Jesus Christ, and you have more perspective. You're able to understand now what the psalmist is saying, that you can look back, you can say, man, in that moment, I couldn't see the goodness of God, but now looking back, I see it's true. Life is hard, and in the midst of it all, God is good. When you look back at your life, you can see as more years pass by. That's why, by the way, I love getting older. Some people don't like it. Some people just think, I don't want to get older. Some people don't want to share their age. I'm the opposite of that. I'll tell you my age anytime. I'm turning 47 in August. I can't wait to turn 47 in August. I can't wait because that makes me 1 year older. It gives me one more year with Jesus Christ. Give me a little bit more gray hair that I hope shows a little bit more wisdom. I hope. Not up here, but right here. A little bit more wisdom. But with each passing year, you look back and you say, it's true. When I doubted you, you were with me. You never left me. When I thought you were not being good to me, you were so good to me. You allowed this to happen and that to happen. I did not want this to happen. But now that I look back and said that had to happen in order for this thing to happen and get me to the place where I am today. Yes, it's true. Life is hard and God is good. Amen. He is so faithful. And I pray right now that your heart is being stirred within you to give thanks to the Lord because he is infinitely good. That's reason number one, to give thanks to the Lord. He's infinitely good. I want to give you another reason. Give thanks to the Lord because, here's reason number two, because he is totally supreme. He is totally supreme. I want you to look at verses 2-3 now. It says this, give thanks to, notice, the God of gods, for his steadfast love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his steadfast love endures forever. So not only do we see a beautiful reason to give thanks to the Lord in the fact that he is infinitely good, we have reason to respond to him and his nature and his person and his supremacy with thanksgiving, but we need to acknowledge first his supreme worthiness, to worship him as preeminent. To thank God rightly, essentially, is to acknowledge his preeminence and his supremacy, that there is no one like him. So the question is, do you and I live in such a way? Do you and I live acknowledging the supremacy and preeminence of God day by day, moment by moment, good times, bad times, that there is no one like him in all the earth, and I live that way? Now, some of you say, ask the question, how do I know? How do I know if I'm acknowledging the supremacy of God? I can give you two things right from the text. It's on the screen. And I acknowledge the total supremacy of God in my life when, here's how I know, when I turn away from all idols. When I turn away from all idolatry, that's how I know that I'm acknowledging the supremacy and preeminence of God in my life. Notice verse 2, it's right from the text. Give thanks to the Lord, to the God of gods, for his steadfast love endures forever. The name of God here in the Hebrew is translated Elohim. It refers to rulers and judges and pagan gods that he is the God over. So our God is over all other small g gods. He is over anything and everything that this world presents to us as supreme or preeminent or worthy of our worship. Now you say, I don't worship anything other than God. Well, I don't know about that. I'm the preacher today. And sometimes my heart is prone to wander, to worship other gods. You say, what are you talking about? Aren't you being a hypocrite? You're standing here telling it. No, I'm just telling you the truth, that sometimes my heart is prone to wander. I look at things that this world has to offer, and it begins to consume my time, my energy, my affection, more than the God of gods. And what is an idol anyways? An idol is anything that takes precedent over the one true and living God. You want to know how, if you're worshiping an idol, look at how you're using your time and your money. That's how you know you're worshiping an idol. If it's gaining and gathering all of your affection and your attention over God. No, our God is the God over all gods. And we know that we acknowledge his supremacy and preeminence by worshiping him and acknowledging him above all other idols, because he is the ultimate ruler of all rulers. Many rulers in the world. We're not doubting that. There are many rulers. There are government authorities. There are kings, there are princes, there are presidents, there are prime ministers, there are all kinds of rulers in the world, but none like our God. No one can compare to God. He is the ultimate judge of all judges. Sometimes you look around the world and you feel like justice is not taking place, it's not being executed. I want to let you know that God is the judge of all judges. He is executing perfect justice. We see glimpses of it now. Well, one day we will see a perfect execution of the judge of all judges, judgments that cannot be overthrown or overturned. Everything will be made right because he is the God of gods. And he is the ultimate power over all powers. There are very powerful people in the world. There are people that are so powerful they make us afraid sometimes. Whether they're in your workplace or your business, whether it's your boss or it's some governmental authority. But there is no power, loved ones, over the power of our God. So how do I know that I understand and acknowledge the total supremacy of the one true God? Answer, I serve not the small g gods of the world. So let me just stop right here for a moment before we move on, and let me ask you the question. Because listen, maybe you're sitting here like, man, this is elementary stuff. Of course, I don't worship idols. You shouldn't think that way. Because I'm telling you right now, I've been walking with Jesus Christ for a long time, and sometimes I need the Holy Spirit to shine a light on me and wake me up out of the reality that I'm giving my affection somewhere else. And I didn't even realize that. And that's some of the most dangerous places to be, by the way. You've been a Christian your whole life, and you're just cruising. You think you understand everything, and you can't even see the idols that you are bowing down to. That's where Satan wants you. It's what he loves. Just keep this guy, Jason, preaching, thinking he's perfect, thinking he's doing the right things, and just keep him blind to all the ways that he's drifting. That's what he wants to do to you. Now, how do you acknowledge or know that you acknowledge God as supreme and preeminent? You humble yourself enough to say daily, Lord, search me, O God, and know my heart. See if there is any offensive, grievous, wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Show me, Lord. I want to see. Am I bowing down to an idol? Am I worshiping something else? Am I following something else? Am I giving you everything? Or am I giving you just crumbs and pieces? Lord, I want to give you everything. Show me. And if we humble ourselves, we will be in a position where the Holy Spirit will, without a doubt, shine a light on your heart. He will. Try him. Test him. You pray with a sincere heart. He will reveal himself to you. The only question is, will you listen, and will you obey, and will you follow? We have great reason to give thanks to the Lord. He's the God of all gods, and we acknowledge him as such when we cast down our idols. I acknowledge the total supremacy of God in my life when I turn away from all idols. Secondly, this, I acknowledge the total supremacy of God in my life when I surrender to his lordship. Surrender to his lordship. Again, you never grow out of this. Every day I need to surrender my life to Jesus Christ and to his lordship. What does that mean exactly? Well, notice verse 3. He says, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his steadfast love endures forever. The name Lord here in the Hebrew means master. It means owner. It can be translated a mighty commander. And when the psalmist calls the congregation to give thanks to the Lord of Lords, he's acknowledging that the world is full of smaller lords, smaller masters, smaller owners, smaller commanders. And when used of people in Scripture, the term Lord is a sign of respect, of an authority of some kind. But when used of God, it refers to the ultimate master and ultimate owner, the supreme ruler of all things. The psalmist is saying, stand up, all you people. Lift up your voices and give thanks to the Lord because he is good. He is worthy because there is no one like him. To worship him, to submit your life to him is the only fitting response, the only acceptable response to the God of gods and the Lord of lords. He is the only worthy master. So are you surrendered, loved ones, to his lordship? He's your master, a good master. He owns you. My life is not my own. Paul says it's been bought with a price, the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Your life, if you're a child of God, it's not your own. You belong to the great good master. You've been bought with a price. And so today is a good day to offer yourself again to his lordship. Lord, forgive me for submitting myself to other things, the rule and reign of money or materialism or a supervisor at work or whatever it is, or climbing up the corporate ladder or whatever kind of business you're involved in. All of that has its place, but today you can surrender to his lordship. You are my master. You purchased me, God, with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And so I will give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. I will give thanks to the God of gods, for his steadfast love endures forever. I will give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his steadfast love endures forever. Wouldn't it be amazing if we're part of a church that's constantly doing this? We give thanks to you, Lord. Every time we gather, we're reminded. Is someone up here saying, come on, lift up your eyes, turn away from your idols, lift up your eyes, surrender to Jesus Christ. Come on, we're gonna do this together. We lift up our voices, we lift up our hands, we let the tears stream down our faces. We say, Lord, you have my heart. You have my heart again. This week I drifted, but I'm running back to you. I need you, I love you, I want you. Take over my life again. Isn't it amazing if we'd be part of a church that does that every single week, week in, week out, keeping one another accountable and being strengthened in our worship and our thanksgiving of the only one that is worthy, because he is good and he is totally supreme over any earthly power or authority or master. Amen? Amen. You are good, Lord. You are good. We worship you. We worship you. I will give thanks to the Lord. He is infinitely good. I'll give thanks to the Lord. He is totally supreme. And the final thing is this: I will give thanks to the Lord because he is uniquely creator. I want you to see it in verse 4. It says, to him who alone does great wonders, for his steadfast love endures forever. He is completely unique in the wonders that he does. The psalmist talks about the wonders he does in creation, speaking of his vast and incomprehensible creation. I want you to see it in verse 5. To him who by understanding made the heavens, for his steadfast love endures forever. To him who spread out the earth above the waters, for his steadfast love endures forever. To him who made the great lights, for his steadfast love endures forever. The sun to rule over the day, for his steadfast love endures forever. The moon and the stars to rule over the night, for his steadfast love endures forever. When you begin to consider the vastness of the sun, the moon, and the stars, and all of creation, you begin to just actually think about it. Put your phone down, turn off your device, turn down the noise, give yourself some time of Sabbath. Just take some time to sit and look out the window. When you begin to consider, with the Bible open on your lap, the vastness of God's creation, you can't help but give thanks to the Lord. You know, when I was a younger kid, I'd see my father sit outside, and he'd just sit outside for hours just staring I used to think, man, that's so boring. What is he doing? What's he doing out there, just staring? My dad loved birds. You know, he'd look at the birds. Yeah, look at that bird, look at that. Who cares about birds? As a little kid, who cares about birds, right? But now, again, as I get older, I find myself staring out the window. I find myself saying, kids, look at the tree in the backyard. Look at the tree. And then the fall, you know, I told you, I called the city to plant an autumn blaze maple in my front yard, a boulevard tree, because I wanted that one time a year to see it turn red, just for that reason. I just wanted to see it turn red. And they came, they planted the tree. Now, every fall, I say, kids, come look, it's turning red. And the leaves start to fall. When the sun is rising, you look out. You know, now I find myself when the moon is glowing, and I just run to the window and I look at the moon. Just like, wow, your steadfast love endures forever. You hung the moon so that we could have light in the nighttime. You hung the stars. You hung the sun so that we could have warmth and light in the daytime. What kind of God is this? He is uniquely creator. And you know, loved ones, he creates beautifully. One of the most beautiful things he creates is a new life and a new heart. Again, yesterday was so immensely impactful for me because as I'm, say, in the morning officiating this funeral, I'm listening to the stories and testimonies of how this one man's life, how he came to faith, he was a new creation. The Bible says the Lord made him a new creation. And then I start to think and hear the stories of how his life rippled into the lives of so many, just vast impact. And I think to myself, your steadfast love endures forever. This is amazing. And then I already told you, but I'm standing there with this couple in front of me and I can hardly get my words up because I'm like, you are a new creation. You are a new creation. You were far from God, hostile towards God. Now you love God. Like, just listening to the words coming out of his mouth as he's saying his vows, I'm like, who are you? It's a new creation. Watching this lovely bride, the tears falling down her face, she can hardly contain herself, worshiping God the whole time. You are a new creation. What is happening here? God, you are worthy of worship. You create all that we see in the earth, but you do the most profound thing in that you make a dead person live. You give new life. You make new creations of hearts and lives. It's amazing. It's amazing. Why should we give thanks to the Lord? Because he is good. He is supreme. He creates in a unique way. And for those of you in this room right now who have been made a new creation, if anyone's in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is past, the new has come. You have ample reason to lavish upon the Lord worship and surrender and thanksgiving all the days of your life. And so do I, and so do we as a church. And if you're here today, maybe there's even one of you that's here today and you have yet to surrender your will to God because somehow you've been captivated by what this world has to offer. I understand it. You've been captivated. There's all kinds of things out there that try to compete for our attention, captivating us, saying, this will give you satisfaction. This will give you peace. This will give you hope. You probably already discovered there's no hope to be found in anything on the earth. But joy, satisfaction, peace comes when we give our lives over to the Lord Jesus Christ and become a new creation so that all our days and for all eternity, we would give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, and his steadfast love endures forever. Amen. Let's pray together.
For more resources and information about Hope Church Toronto West, please visit hopechurchtw.ca.